I remember that night distinctly. It was just like it was yesterday for me. See, I was one of those shepherds that Gunnar just read a story about to you. Yeah, it was just like yesterday. There we were, my brothers and I, taking care of the sheep. Minding our own business. Nothing happening, just the normal day in the field. Of course, you got to realize, we're shepherds. So we're kind of like at the bottom of the rung of people in our times. Oh yeah, we didn't know about Old Spice and Axe. We didn't know about deodorant. We just hung out with sheep. We smelled like our sheep. We were just common men doing a common job. But it's an unusual time for us. You see, there were a lot of people coming into Bethlehem. It was busy. There was a census going on. And the census drew everybody into that town for a reason. And you know, our sheep, they didn't know anything. They just kept their heads down and mowed the lawn, if you will. They just took care of what they needed to take care of. And so did we. In fact, some of our sheep would later be sold and would be used as a sacrifice for the lives of the Jewish people. It would be what we would call as a Jew Passover. A time where it cost me something and I had to give of my very best. In fact, I had to give a lamb that was unblemished. No spots, no broken bones. In fact, many of the families would take that young baby lamb into their home and they would raise it from its birth, care for it, and then at Passover, it had to be sacrificed. So yeah, it was just another night, just like any night. And as my brothers and I sat there in the field and watched, and we even counted sheep, as they say. We didn't fall asleep, though. You all fall asleep when you count sheep. But we were counting and tending the sheep. When all of a sudden, the skies opened up. They illuminated like never before. And voices in an angelic choir began to sing. And oh, did they sing. They sang beautifully in multi-part harmony. Beautiful choruses. And as they praised the one and the only God, Yahweh Himself, the one who created all things. And He created these things to have a purpose and a specific function, that in their life and in their creation, they would give glory to Him, and these angels sang of it. In fact, the words were, as Gunnar read to you, glory to God in the highest. To the one and only God, the true one, and one that we as Jews would say, the Messiah, the one to come. But it was such a glorious night now, we even forgot about our sheep. Because the news that the angel said to us was to go into Bethlehem to see what has happened. An interesting thing, we'd heard this might happen. We had seen it. We had heard it from Isaiah and the prophets in the Old Testament, as you call it, and they would tell of the one to come. In fact, Isaiah said he would come and he would be Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel means God with us. I'm just a simple shepherd. I don't have a scholarly degree. I don't understand Arabic. I don't understand Hebrew. I just understand sheep, but when it says God with us, I knew there was something special to go and see. So we did. We got up and we hurried into Bethlehem and we went to the stable. You see, I kind of know where stables are. Goes with my job. I'm a shepherd. And we hurried there and we found in that stable a young girl. A young girl who had just given birth to a baby, and her betrothed, her man, Joseph, was there with her. And as they cared and they wrapped this baby, you know, they had just what they had with them. They had no babies or us to go to. They couldn't go down to the local store and buy at H&M a cute little Christmas outfit. No, no. Do you know what they wrapped Jesus in? Swaddling clothes. Or for you that don't know and haven't bought swaddling clothes in a while, it's burial cloth. It's the garment that you would use because as you traveled, which Joseph and Mary had just traveled to Bethlehem, carried with them their burial clothes. All good Jewish people carry it. And they took that swaddling clothes, that soft cloth, and they wrapped baby Jesus in it. And they laid him. This is crazy. But not in a crib. In a feed trough used for our animals. Perplexing. Why would this happen? Why would just ordinary shepherds tending our sheep in the field be invited to this spectacular adventure? Just common men doing a common job get invited to the very birth of Messiah. Now, only history and time will tell us. But I know one thing about that special day. That day is just like today, as I said, was so impressed because God Himself, in the form of Jesus, a baby, came to us. Unique. You see, there was a lot of hustle and bustle in Bethlehem. The city proper was busy. Trading going on, buying going on, census being taken, all of this stuff happening. And here in the outskirts of the stable, the Christ child, Jesus Himself, was born. It was interesting. Caught up in the moment as we would be, just as you would be when you see a newborn baby, but even more, the prophecy fulfilled we had heard from long ago was here. Ordinary men told to do an ordinary thing, and that was to tell people. We did. As we left after we worshiped there in the very stable that Jesus was born in, we left and we told people. We were excited. Just ordinary shepherds. And as we approached people, we'd say, "You won't believe it." What? Jesus has been born. The Christ child. Who later we would find out had the name the Lamb of God. In fact, it's told in scriptures. You have it. In the Gospel of John, it says these very words. As Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist, he says, as Jesus appears, he says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Oh, it was a silent night at first. It was a quiet night in the hills, in the valley. Watching the sheep until the angels sang a heavenly chorus. And as we rushed into Bethlehem to see that newborn baby, to see his face, it was like that question we heard in Ellie's song, "Mary, did you know that this baby boy would one day rule the world?" Jesus, a baby. Born and laid in a feed trough, wrapped in burial clothes, came for a reason. And as we shared the story with people, some were excited, but some just too busy to even bother. And I understand it's similar today, that some are excited about Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Promised One. And others don't want anything to do with Jesus. And yet the very gift He gave was not the kingdom being ruled today, in my time as a shepherd, or even in your time. But the gift he gave was eternal life. You see, it was promised that he would be our Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one who would come and take away all sins, the things that we do that are wrong. Too busy for that? No time for Jesus? What a tragic affair that would be. To think that Jesus, who gave a gift so freely and willingly to anyone who would accept it, would say, I don't want it. I don't desire it. I want my own way. Oh, but Jesus. Jesus, who left heaven and came to earth, born in the manger, lived there in a very impoverished state. He, Jesus, gave himself for you and I. You all sing a song called Joy to the World. But who's experiencing joy? Are you? Do you experience the joy of Jesus? Or is it just Christmas again? Is it just another day? Oh, that you could have experienced that time as we tended the sheep. As we rushed into Bethlehem, as we saw the baby, as we saw Mary and we saw Joseph, and we saw what was happening, and that history prophecy was being fulfilled. And yet, I don't have time for that, say. I don't want to be bothered with this gift. Oh, the heartache that causes me as a shepherd who was there. I long to see that day. I hoped that it would be in my lifetime, and it was. I got to see Messiah who came to give a gift. When it is told to me that Emmanuel, God with us, was with us, the joy in my heart became great. You see, it was an unusual and unique Christmas present, if you will. No fancy wrapping paper, no big bows, no to and from on the package. It was just swaddling clothes and a baby in a feed trough. And yet, when you unwrap that present, when you take that present apart and you explore and design and see the design of the Creator, God Himself, you see the beauty of His love to you and I. The beauty that He had planned this from the beginning for a relationship with mankind. And oh, as we unwrap that present, as we unwrap the truth of God's love and God's Word to you and I, as we see that and we hold it, the joy you must feel if you know the Messiah. Because you see, you have the printed scriptures. We just had the scrolls. And we had the rabbis to teach us, and we had to learn, and we had anticipation, and you hold in your midst, in your hands, in your life, the Word of God. You see, His love letter came in the form of Jesus, given to you and I, and then revealed to us through His Word. Oh, that you might experience what we experienced that night, the joy of Christmas. Take your Bibles, if you have it, and turn to that passage in Luke as Gunnar read for us. And thank you, Gunnar, for reading that. There's a part in there that I think we sometimes read, and we sometimes skip over it because that's just the way things happen. But as Gunnar was reading it again, and I've been looking at it this week, it just pops out to me. In verse 15 of chapter 2, the angels have just finished singing that chorus, Glory to God in the highest. and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And then verse 15 says, when the angels had left them, they had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And sometimes we see that word, we see that phrasing, and you and I today, as we look at this, we just kind of go, yeah, okay, it happened. But think for just a moment. For those of you who are really analytical, it's easy. For some of us, like myself, I'm not really analytical. It takes me a while to grapple with something, and then it goes, oh, the light came on. Got it. Think of this. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. That simple statement in and of itself is just, okay, it happened. No. The Lord said it. And when the Lord tells us something, it's truth. And you and I have a responsibility with that truth, don't we? When you know the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, as the court systems tell us, we need to tell it. And the shepherds saw firsthand the Christ child. Because why? It happened. It happened. And then they hurried off, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Simple feed trough. I don't know about you, but I know I really wouldn't want to be laid in a feed trough. I know that in the days of my dad, it was either my dad or my uncle who, when he was born, they didn't have the money and they lived in a dresser drawer. I guess that's kind of convenient because then you could close it. I don't know. I don't think they did. But it wasn't much. A feed trough. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Son of God, born and laying in a feed trough. I don't know about you, but it doesn't get any much more simpler than that. Borrowed stall, a borrowed feed trough for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, in that monologue, as I acted to be the shepherd, Jesus came for common people, didn't he? He didn't come for those rich and mighty and powerful CEOs and CFOs and COOs and all the other C's you can see. Who did he come for? The common people, lowercase c, O-M-M-O-N. Why? He revealed himself to the common men of the day, the shepherds. As the shepherd told us, he was the lowest in the low. There was no status to really being a shepherd. And I find it interesting that the same people who had faith enough to believe that the angels were telling the truth went and saw for themselves. They revealed to them, Jesus did, who he really truly was. And yet, too busy? No time? No interest? Whatever the excuse might be, people still today don't care. They don't want to take it for the truth that it is. Why? Maybe it's too simple. But how about the fact they just don't want to believe? The shepherds believed, common men. And then in verse 17, and when they had seen him, they had seen Jesus, they had seen the face of God. And I don't know about you, if you've never heard that song that Ellie sang, it's a song that drives some points home to you and I. Because when you look into the face of a baby, oftentimes you see the mom and the dad's face, don't you? And I'm glad my three children got their mom's face. Because it wouldn't have been so good to look into my face again. But you see, you look into that face of that baby and you see it and you go, ah, that is so cute. I want to just hold it until it burps, right? You want to cuddle with it. You want to hold it. You want to love on it. And you just, you look at it and you go, what will it be? Will they grow up to play the piano beautifully? Will they grow up to sing? Will they grow up to be able to take care of our technical stuff? Will they be an engineer, an archaeologist, a who knows what? Or maybe just a common shepherd But I guarantee you, every one of us in this room have had somebody look into our face and go, what will they be? Who will this child grow up to be? And for some of you, you're thinking, will this child hurry up and grow up? I know. Been there, done that. But we look at that, and Mary held Jesus. I'm simple. But that song is powerful. Even the simple thought of Jesus' face when she kissed the cheek of Jesus, we only can assume that she did, because what mom doesn't, right? Even when the kid's being cranky, we still kiss its cheek. It's so cute. And when she kissed it, though, she's kissing Jesus, the Son of God. Those shepherds got in on the joyous, most exciting Christmas party ever. We had a grand time last night. We had fun. That was nothing compared to what those shepherds experienced. No white elephant gift exchange there, in fact. In fact, what did they experience? The very gift of God in who? Oh, really? Yeah, not listening? The very gift of God in who? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, in Jesus. The face of God in the very presence of that baby, Jesus. And the shepherds did one thing. Kept their mouth shut and went back to 10 sheep, right?
No.
Not at all, Michael. Look what they did. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I have a question for you. This you don't have to answer out loud. Other times when I ask questions, I like feedback. But this one, you don't have to audibly do it. When's the last time you were so excited about Jesus? Do you know where I'm going with this? That you told somebody about Jesus. The shepherds left their sheep in the field and went in, saw Jesus. I don't know if they fist bumped back in those days, but I think they might have. Each other. They maybe gave knuckles to Joseph. I don't know. I'm adding that. And then they went and they told people about Jesus. And I don't know about you, but last year, when your football team or your American football team or your basketball team or your volleyball team won, excluding Kentucky Wildcats. No hard feeling, Jeff. It happens. We got a season every now and again. You tell somebody about it. Or if your team doesn't fare so well, you don't tell anybody about it because you're bummed. If you watch the Army-Navy game, those of us who are Navy brats, not too happy. Gunner, I saw that hand go up.
No.
Yeah? I know you did. I know. You were pumping for the Army. First time in 15 years. That's something to be proud of. And we tell somebody about it, don't we? That's a good thing. But in all seriousness, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time that you got excited about the present wrapped in swaddling clothes, not the present under the tree? Because you see, Christmas isn't about presents for you and I. It really isn't. Hate to dash your hopes on that. It's about knowing Jesus. And that little saying that goes, the reason for the season is Jesus. Shepherds got it right. They went and told somebody. What's your Christmas going to be like? What will you do this Christmas different? Because maybe the scripture, maybe, will give you a new light on it. You see, we read that story. In fact, it's a family tradition in ours that when everything is all done, we settle down and we read the Christmas story. In the last several years when our son was deployed and we were with our family, I remember one year my grandson, Garrett, crawled up on my lap. And I read out of the Bible that my son had written in as he was deployed to the Middle East. And he said, "I'm reading out of the same Bible as you are." And I thought on that night when I read the Christmas story, the opportunity to read it to my grandson was powerful. That's why I wanted Gunner to read it. Because you see, sometimes when an adult reads it, we don't really get it. We just kind of listen. But when a young child reads it, we listen. Why? Because you see, sometimes we big people get a little too much about ourselves, about the stuff that's going on, and we don't stop and listen. Shepherds stopped and listened, didn't they? Garrett up on my lap stopped and listened when Papa read the story. I don't know about you, but I stopped and listened when Gunner read the story. When you read the story this year, if it's your first time, read it again. If it's not, and it's the 20th, 50th, 100th time you've read it, read it through the eyes of the shepherd, excited to see the truth. Because you know we anticipate exciting things, don't we? We anticipate the Christmas present, the gift that may be coming from somebody that is special, that they're giving us, and we think we know what they're giving. And with all anticipation, you look forward to it, right? And then when you open it up and it's a pair of tough skin jeans that you get every Christmas because you wore them out last year, which is what I got as a kid, you're going, "Really? I wanted something else." But is it about that present, or is it about the one who gives the present? Because you see, God gave us the present this season, didn't He? He gave us Jesus. To have that relationship with Him that only He could provide through His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that we can enter into that relationship with Him. There's a song, we're not going to sing it, but there's a song that comes to mind. Go tell it on the mountain. The shepherds went and told. Will you go this Christmas? In fact, don't wait till December 25th. Will you go and tell somebody about Jesus? Would you introduce them to your friend? And Lord willing, to your Savior? And maybe you're here tonight and you don't even got a clue what I'm talking about. Talk to me afterwards. I'd love to tell you about Jesus, the Son of God, who loved you and me enough that He left heaven to come to earth, to die on a cross, to be buried, but rise again, and give you and I the opportunity to have the best present ever, and that's a relationship with Jesus. Other gifts are fun. Other gifts may be great, but there's only one gift that counts, and that's the gift of Jesus. And that's a gift that's worth re-gifting time and time again. Would you join me in prayer? And maybe tonight, as you're just contemplating quietly in your heart and your mind right now, as we begin to pray in a few minutes, something's just gnawing at you and you're going, "I want to know Jesus. I want to know why He is so excited about the baby Jesus born and growing and died and rose again. And what does that mean?" I'm going to invite you just quietly in your own heart to deal with God. Because you see, I believe that's how God works. He works inside you and I. He invites us. He's a gentleman. He calls to us to come to Him. We have to choose to accept. And maybe that's where you're at tonight. And just in the quietness of your heart, you can pray something silently to Him that sounds something like this: "Dear God, I know that I have done things that are wrong. I've done things that have disappointed You. And I've done things that have saddened You. But I ask You to forgive me of all of those things. To give me a new, fresh start. And to accept that gift of Christmas, Your forgiveness and Your love right now.
I thank you that in that gift, Jesus, that you give is not only your love and forgiveness, but I thank you for that gift of eternal life that only comes through Jesus Christ. And I ask for that tonight. And if you've prayed something like that, I would encourage you to come and tell me afterwards. I'm not going to keep track. It's just so that you can tell somebody, because it's important for someone to know, to encourage you. And maybe you're here tonight and you've done that before, but you've just not shared the good news yet. And I would pray in just a moment for you that you would be bold enough to do that this season. So, Father, you have met us here tonight, I pray. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to work in each one of our hearts and our lives, that you would continue to mold us and make us into the men and women you want us to be. I pray, God, that those who are still going, I don't understand, but I want to understand, Holy Spirit, you do the work that you do in their hearts and their lives and draw them to you. Father, for those of us that know you, have that personal relationship with you, I would ask that we would be bold enough to be willing to stand on a mountaintop and explain and to cry out the good news of Jesus Christ to those we encounter. Maybe it's to somebody in our apartment building. Maybe it's somebody at work. I don't know, Father, but you do. I ask that you would strengthen us and encourage us and equip us to be bold enough to be like the shepherds on that ordinary day that received one very special gift in the life of Jesus Christ with others. May we be willing to do that now and on into the new year, so others would have a chance to know you. Pray these things in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Roland is going to lead us with the team in singing one verse of a very familiar song to many of us. But we're going to do it a little differently. We're going to sing it in Deutsch. For those of us who are challenged in Deutsch, yes, you and I, Jill, it's okay. I have my friends Florina and Ellie. They do the translation part for me. But I want you to stand with us as a body as we sing the song tonight. We have the lyrics up here. We didn't have a German keyboard, so bear with us. But it is going to be up here in Deutsch, and I want us to sing it together as we end our evening in this way. Roland? Go tonight, do remember the reason for the season is Jesus. Go in His peace. We'll see you again. Remember, next Sunday night, we will not have service here at the RMC, but we'll be back on January 1st, same time, January 1st. Go in God's peace, and Merry Christmas to each one of you. God bless you.